Rishut, the Rav Shlita, Rishut Sechash Vetzivu. We say in our Tefillah of Sholish Regalim, Atova Chartonu Mikol Amin, Ahavto Yisonu Vratzisa Bonu, the three Lashonis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had chosen us from the rest of the Umos HaOlam, has a special connection with us. The Pirush Siach Yitzchok on the Tefillah says that these three Lashonis connect with the Sholish Regalim. Atova Chartonu Mikol Amin connects with Pesach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us from amongst the Mitzrayim, he took us out from Eretz Mitzrayim, called Bechira. Ahav to Yisonu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us his Kli Chemda on Shavuos, Zman Matan Toi Rafeinu. Rotzitza Bonu, says the Siach Yitzchok, the Loshon Rotzitza Bonu, is a Loshon of choosing us, taking us at a time when might not necessarily have been so logical, so reasonable. Meaning, even after Am Yisrael Ban Chatoim, after the Chet HaEgel, but they did Tshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once again, was happy with them, with Nispayis, and Barotzoin, that's the Loshon Barotzitza Bonu, which is Meramis Chag HaSukkos, and also in our cycle of the year, Chag HaSukkos follows on from Yom HaKippurim, which is the time of the Chilas Avoinois, and the Simcha of Chag HaSukkos is Barotzitza Bonu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Moichol HaAveiros, and once again, we managed to come close to him, so since Chag HaSukkos is a follow-on, very much from Yom HaKippurim. Perhaps we have Rishus to say that Hilchos Yom HaKippurim is still a shtickle in Yonah V'Yoyma. So to speak a little bit about in the studio of Hilchos Yom Kippur. And we know the halacha is that when we have a choile who needs to eat on Yom Kippur, well, otherwise chalila his life would be in sakana. So the halacha is that we look to make the issur as lenient and as small as possible. So, for example, if we have a choile who needs to eat. So we say to him, well, when we consult a doctor, we say, do you need to eat the shiur? Is it enough for you to eat less than the shiur? Do you need to eat the kesevis, which is the shiur for which there's a chiyuv for an oinish? Or do you need to eat less than the shiur? If it's enough for him to eat less than the shiur, then he eats less than the shiur. Likewise, with drinking, the same halacha, very well known halacha. Let's just go into this figure a little bit and look at two points within this halacha, which are a little less well known, also not openly discussed in the earlier poiskim, two speakers. One topic is, within, let's say this case, where a doctor has told a choile that you need to eat, but you can eat pachos mikashir, that will be enough for you, you won't be in sakana if you eat less than the shir. Is there any chiluk, what sort of food the person eats? Or let's say a drink, what sort of drink, let's take the example of drink, this will be good enough for you to have less than a shir of drink. But he says, medically, it doesn't make any difference what drink you have, you can have water, you can have apple juice, you can have Coke, whatever you want, you just have to have this pachos mikashir of the liquid. Is there any nafkamine in halacha between what sort of liquid you might have? Can the choile say, well, since I anyway have to drink, I'm going to have what I enjoy the most. So I'll have a pachos mikashir of Coca-Cola. Or no, is there some Indian tzaddik could say that even within drinking less than a shir, but perhaps also one should take care to have as little hanoah as possible. It's one topic. Another topic, we find very openly spoken about in halacha, as we said before, that if a person is faced with the possibility of having more than a shir or less than a shir, the doctor says, yes, you can manage with less than a shir, so you have less than a shir. What about within less than a shir? He's not going to have the shir. Within less than a shir. Do we need to be medactic and say, is it good enough for this choile to have 10 milliliters of liquid, 50 milliliters of liquid? Is there any difference between having a little more or a little less? Or is the whole difference only just in going over the mark between a shir and less than a shir, which is a more chomor dika avera, to have a shir? So we can understand that you've got to take care not to go over the cross that line of having more than a shir. But what about within less than a shir? Is there also a mockum to be medactic and say, be careful to only have the very bare minimum, exactly what you need. Or do we say maybe it doesn't make any difference? Just before we go any further in this topic, I'll just say it goes without saying that anything I'm going to say now is not halacha lemaisa. Anybody who will be faced with these types of shailas will obviously consult the Rav Shlita. This is just a way of going through the sugya. So, one marabokum which relates to these various shailas, we have a Mishnah in the second Yom Daf Pei Beis, which speaks about Ubra Shei Richon. A pregnant lady who smelt a certain food, she develops a taiva, a craving for the food, and if she doesn't have this food, it's going to be a chashash pakon. So the Mishnah says, Ma'achilu noitza ad she'toshiv nafsho. Yes, this situation is called the situation of sakona. You give her to eat, ad she'toshiv nafsho, until she's revived, until she feels better. That's what you do. That's in the Mishnah. Then, straight away in the Gemara, The Gemara again speaks about this case. It brings a brisa, and it adds a little more detail. The brisa says, "Sodei Rabbanan, Ubra Sheiricha." We have a pregnant lady who has smelled some food and developed a craving, but it's not talking about Yom Kippur. She smelled, says the brisa, Besar Kodesh or Besar Chazir. She smelled some food which is also Ba'achila. Besar Kodesh, the Basar of Karbonos, Besar Chazir, meat which is unkosher. And then the brisa says that we go through three stages. Firstly, says the brisa, the very first thing we do, Toichelin La Kush for Roitev, we take a stick, a little stick, we dip it into the Roitev, into the gravy of this meat, and we put it on her mouth. So we take a stick with a little bit of gravy, that's the first stage, we put it on her mouth. In this Yashva Daiko Mutub, if that works, and she calms down, she says, okay, I feel better now. So very good, well and good. In love, Machilin Oiso Roitev Atzmo. If not, the second stage, we give her from the actual gravy itself. We've got this meat cooking in some sort of gravy. We give her from the gravy the liquid which the meat has been cooking in. Once again, in this Yashva Daito, if it helps, she's revived. Mutub, very good. Same love, Machilin Oiso Shuman Atzmo. And if that also doesn't help, then we go to the final stage, and we give her the actual food itself. So again, these are the three stages. First stage, we give her a little bit of the gravy on a stick. The second stage, we actually take the gravy on a spoon or whatever, and we give it to her sort of more directly. And then finally, if all of that doesn't help, we give her from the meat itself. When these stages are actually mentioned in the Mishnah Berurah, he clarifies it, it's poshut, he clarifies it, we're still within giving her less than a shear. This is all within less than a shear. We haven't yet arrived at the stage where we see that it doesn't help and we need to give her a shear. We start by giving her less than a shear. But within less than a shear, we go through these three stages. We first give her a little bit on a stick, then we give her a little bit of the gravy itself, and then we give her from the meat itself. Now I'd like to first focus on the second two stages, giving her from the gravy and giving her from the meat, from the meat itself, from the food itself. One of the Gedolei Achronim in Maseches Yuma, Maseches Yom Kippurim, he comes along and he asks a big question. He says, I don't understand. Let's consider for a second what level of Isur is this gravy? What exactly is wrong with eating this gravy? Here we are. The Brisa once again is discussing a case of Ma'acholos Asur. The Brisa which presents these three stages, discussing forbidden food. At what level of Isur is this gravy? What's wrong with the gravy? What's wrong with it? Because it probably was initially water. In the water was cooked the meat. The meat has imparted its taste into the water, so you've got meat which contains within it the tarm of this non-kosher meat. So, it's beyond the scope of this year to start going into all the various different shittas in tarm ki'ika, what extent of an issur it is. The Beis Yosef and Simon Tzadiches presents four shittas, there's more lichayra, but let's just take, say, Sefer Yom Kippurim takes the two most extreme shittas, which are Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi holds that once that tam, if the tam is at least bottle beroit, even if you can still taste it, tam ke ikur is an itzad rabbanon. So eating the gravy, the chayra, according to that shitta, would be an itzad rabbanon. But on the other extreme, we have the shitta of Rabbeinu Tam, who holds the exact opposite, that as long as that taste has not yet been bottled b'shishin, the entire mixture has been transformed, as though it were, into ma'acholos asurot, and anybody who eats any kezayit of that gravy, or whatever food it might be, containing the tam or isra, gets malchus for every single kezayit. Those are the two sort of extreme shittas, and there's various shittas in the middle, where in certain situations maybe it's an isra deraita. So the Sefer Yom Kippurim weighs up between these two shittas, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. So he says, well, Bishlomo, according to Rashi, we understand very well, according to Rashi, Nechora, eating from the gravy is just an isra derabbanan. So very nice, that's why we're makdim to eat from the roitav, before going to the food. We say, well, eat from the gravy, that's just an issa d'rabbanan, before you go on to the food, which would be an issa d'raita. But, ask the Sefer Yom Kippurim, according to Shittas Rabbeinu Tam, the chayra, eating from the gravy, is the exact same issa as homor, as eating from the meat itself. So what's the great minor of telling God, oh, first we're going to give you from the gravy, we'll see how you get on, we'll see if you're revived, and if it doesn't help, we'll give you from the meat. Give her from the meat straight away. What do you gain by giving her first from this roitav? That's the kasha of the Sefer Yom Kippurim, and he leaves it, sorry, so he doesn't know how to answer the kasha. So, Raisa, that's an interesting thing. There's a Sefer Dikduke Soferim, which goes into Girusois and the Gemara, and always from the Kisvei Yodos, and investigates, and Dikduke Soferim says, well, you know, in some Kisvei Yodos of this Gemara, you'll find that this stage doesn't appear. this stage of the, you give from the right of it isn't there. So the Duke of Sophie says, you know what, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that must be the answer. He just wasn't going to this part of the Gemara. You have the first stage, we'll come back to the first stage, because there's other ways of explaining the first stage, which maybe could get around this question. We'll come back to the first stage in the show later. So he says, well, just not going to it, and the problem is solved. Okay, that's one approach. The Maaseh, this din is mentioned in Poskim without there being any remez that it's somehow tolerant on this Shaila of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. It's not such a kasha, but there's also room for another approach. Before we present another approach, there's another question over here. The Rambam, when he paskins these halachas, he mentions them in two places. One in Hilchos Ma'akolos Asuras, and one in Hilchos Yom Kippur. So in Hilchos Ma'akolos Asuras, he mentions this case of the Gemara, where the Gemara speaks about a pregnant lady who needs to eat Ma'akolos Asuras, and he mentions the stages which the Gemara says, the steak, the reuter, the meat. So he says that's what you do, like mentioned in the Brisa in the Gemara. In Hilchos Yom Kippurim, he doesn't bring any of these stages. He just brings the Mishnah. The Mishnah itself, exactly like the Mishnah and the Brisa. The Mishnah also doesn't bring any of these stages. It simply says, Ubra Shehiricha, pregnant lady who smell the food, you feed her. You feed her Atcha Toshiv Nasha. So, why is that? At first it might seem strange, there's some difference here between Yom Kippur and Ma'akolos Asuras, but actually, on second thought, it's very posh. It makes a lot of sense what the Rambam does. Why? Because we're understanding that presumably, whatever the answer is to the question which we ask about why the Reuter is more kal, but for some reason or other, the Reuter is more kal than the actual Ma'akolos Asuras itself. You have the actual meat, you have the Reuter, for some reason or other, Reuter is more kal than the actual. So very good, when we deal with Ma'akolos Asuras, so to eat first from the Reuter is more kal. So the Rambam says, yes, you have a pregnant lady, she needs to see Ma'akolos Asuras. Start with Reuter, and then go on to the Ma'akol itself. But when we come to Yom Kippur, I'm not talking about Ma'akolos Asuras. Whichever food you eat, whichever drink you drink, is all awful. Makes really no difference. There's no approach to say, well, the Reuter is more kal than the meat. It's all the same thing. So the Rambam doesn't bother going into those details. You obviously feed less than a shear at first, like you do with anything. And finish, there's no point, there's no reason to start giving first from the Reuter and then from the meat, because the Reuter is no more kal than the meat itself. At least there is the pshat in the Shittas Rambam, that's how the Beit Yosef is. The Shaila is, well, it is such a good pshat, that it becomes a question on other Rishonim, let's say the Torah, for example. The Torah does bring down all these stages in Hilchos Yom Kippur. As he understands that the Brisa is just an expansion on the Mishnah. The Mishnah was more Makatzer, the Brisa fills in the details, but these dinim apply equally whether we're dealing with Ma'akolos Asuras, whether we're dealing with Yom Kippur. It doesn't make any difference. The question is, though, why should that be? As we said, such a good pshat in the Rambam, the Chayra, it's a good point. Why on Yom Kippur should there be any difference between eating from the Reuter and eating from the meat? Bishlam and Ma'akolos Asuras. So maybe the Reuter is more kal for some reason or other. But on Yom Kippur, what's the difference between the Reuter, the meat, whatever food you eat, whatever drink you drink, the Chayra is all the same level of it. So, try to go through a few approaches to deal with these questions. There is a sefer of one of the Gedolei Achronim called the Tshuvos Amudei Or. Much of a Tshuvos sefer from about 150 years ago, maybe a little bit more. And Amudei Or comes along with a big sefer. And he says that whenever we deal with a Chole Sheyesh Bo Sakana, who has to eat from Ma'akolos Asuras, whether it's Ma'akolos Asuras, whether it's Yom Kippur, actually, it doesn't make a distinction. He says, not only do we have to see to it that they eat the smallest amount possible, that's one thing, but also, he says, we have to see to it that they have the smallest benefit possible. So not only is there an inyan of pasuk mikashir in shir, there's also an inyan of having the smallest hana possible. And he brings various riyas to this yisoid. One thing he mentions, doesn't bring this mamish as a riya, but says in our previous, we can understand the Gemara in Yuma, a few dafim later on, where the Gemara seems to be saying something which seems like, sort of, you might say, unimportant, devorim shal mabakach. The Gemara speaks about somebody who's been struck with an illness called bulmus. Bulmus is a sort of illness where he has to eat straight away, he has to eat something very sweet. And the Gemara discusses what he should eat. It doesn't seem to be a halachic Gemara, it seems to be just one of these Gemaras where Gemara is offering you advice. Be'in yoneh ha'olam, it's offering you different refuahs. And the Gemara brings about three amaroi. Amar of Nachman of Ashmur, Misha Ochdoi bulmus, somebody who's struck by this bulmus. The first man the Amar says, Machilin oistoi alyo vidvash. You feed him the tail of an animal in honey. Okay? The second man, the Omer, Rav Hunabrid, Rav Yeshua, Ibe, Af Soilis Nekir Vidvash. You could also feed him flour, fine flour with honey. And the third man, the Omer, Rav Papa Omer, Afilu Kimchi Desari V'Dubshi. You can even feed him barley flour in honey. Three man, the Omer, in the Gemara. So says Amulei Or, what's the Machoikas over here? It's just telling you different refuahs, different medicines. You go to this doctor, you go to that doctor, so you go to the doctor, you see what he recommends. No, says Amulei Or. You know what they're telling you? They're telling you what works, and the Mela, since the Yisoid is, as I have said, that whenever you eat Ma'akolis Asuris, you have to have the smallest benefit possible. So if you'll have somebody who's faced with this condition, bulmus, and all he has is these various foods which are over here. So if you've got an alia, a piece of meat, which is forbidden, and you've got kemah, which is forbidden, and you've got barley flour, which is forbidden, so the first man is saying, no, as far as I know, the only thing that works is to eat the piece of meat, so you'll have to eat it. But the later man are saying, no, you can get away with something which has less enjoyment. It's less pleasant to eat flour than it is to eat a piece of meat. So you can get away with that, so that's all you're allowed to eat. Because it works, that's all you're allowed. Because you have to always look for the smallest benefit possible. And he carries it on in a few other places in the Gemara. We can't go now into all of his rhymes. That's the Yisoy which Amudei Or puts down. He brings the Makor from Inyone Arois, Mishamish Be'eva Meis. Let's speak about it later. So the Amudei Or doesn't openly address the sugya that we've been learning. But the Or Sameach mentions this Yisoid, and he is Meramin, that according to this Yisoid, we can understand, we can answer also the questions that we've been asking on our sugya. What's the reason to be mapped in the Reutev on Yom Kippur? Why is the Reutev more kal? And even in Ma'akolas Tasuris, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Tam Ki'ikah Deraita, why is the Reutev more kal? Says the Or Sameach, according to the Yisoid of Amudei Or, we can understand very well. The Reutev, there's less benefit in having the Reutev. And Mimela, whether it's Yom Kippur, or whether we're dealing with Ma'akolas Tasuris, you start with the Reutev. But, even though this answers the questions very, very neatly, the Or Sameach does not like this Yisoid at all. And he says, probably what's troubling Rabbeinu, he says, we've never seen anywhere that the amount of benefit somehow weighs in with the Shia. He says, mainly his kasha is just mitzvara. He says, you know, we've never heard that, let's say, if a person has three quarters of a Shia, but it's three quarters of a Shia of something that's extremely pleasurable. So we should have said, this pleasure would be a factor. So we should have said, well, the extra pleasure should weigh in to be mashlim what's chaser in the Shia. We've never heard that pleasure can somehow fill in the Shia. Elamai. Pleasure is not part of the cheshbon. Pleasure doesn't come into it. Chazal gave us a fixed shear. It doesn't make a difference whether you're having something very pleasurable, something less pleasurable. It doesn't make a difference. The shear, and it doesn't shear. So brings us back to our two questions. What's the difference, according to Rabbeinu Tam, what's the difference between the Reutev and the food? And on Yom Kippur, what's the difference between the Reutev and the food? So the Rishon says, you know, these questions are difficult, and he suggests that we have to say, according to Rabbeinu Tam, even though Tam Ke'ikah is the writer, but it isn't mamish mefurish in the Torah, so Mela, it's considered mokal. We do sometimes find such a thing in various places. Something that's not mamish mefurish is called mokal. And as far as why on Yom Kippur we give the writer first, says, you know what, it must just be a takonos chazal, otu shar isurim. To follow the same instructions like we do in other isurim, so on Yom Kippur we do the same, not to come to confusion, not to come to mix up. Whenever we feed somebody isurim, this is what we do. Want to go on to present one further mahalak, which is more what seems to come out from the poskim, from the Mishnah Berurah, and from the Beis Yosef. I'd like to give a shtickel, short hakdama to this, from somewhere else in halacha. We find a case discussed in Hilchos Shabbos of a chole on Shabbos who needs to eat meat. And you have available nevela, you have already available nevela, or you could shecht an animal and feed him from the shechted meat. What do you do? Do you feed him the nevela, which is anywhere available? Or do you say, then he'll have to transgress the Issa nevela? Or do you say, no, shecht him the meat and let him eat kosher meat? In Mechal and Shabbos, shecht the meat and let him eat kosher meat. This is Machlokes Rishonim, but the halacha is, Shulchan Aruch Paskin, that you shecht the animal and you feed him kosher meat. And at first, this might seem a little bit counterintuitive. The Issa of Shabbos is a more chomor, a more stringent Issa than the Issa of Nevela. Shabbos is an Issa Skila, Nevela is just a lav, so why should we go for the more stringent Issa when we could just feed the Chayla a less stringent Issa? So there's various reasons provided by the Rishonim. One of the reasons is presented by the Ram. The Ram says that because the Chayla he's going to have to eat. He's going to sit down and have his meal of this meat which he needs. So he's going to eat a number of kazeitim, presumably, of novena. Masha'inke, when you shecht an animal on Shabbos, how many yitzurim are you being over? One. So the chayin is being over, if he would eat that novena, he's going to be over sort of a number of times, so to speak. Not over, but he's doing a number of yitzurim, a number of kazeitim. But when you shecht the animal, you're just doing one. So it's better, even though Shabbos is more chomo, but it's better for us to do one more chomo de keisa than to have a less chomo de keisa done a number of times. Come along, a number of the Mephoshim, the Radvazas, this Kasha, the Shabbatas, says, okay, but what will be, maybe it's only limited to a certain case, Taka, what will be, let's say the chola only needs a very tiny amount of meat. He only needs a very little bit. He's not going to sit down and eat a whole meal of many kazais. Let's see, he needs only half a kazai. So then what will be? Will the din change? Maybe the din will change, but not so much.
And then even... Maybe over more malachas.
Well, let's say we're talking about novena. Let's say we're talking about novena, which is also uncooked. So as far as those malachas are concerned, it's all eaten. Let's say. So the Mephoshim asks, what will be if you've got less than a kedais? Comes along the Mogen Avraham and he says, the din will be the same. The din won't change. Says the Mogen Avraham, you know why? Why won't the din change? Because every mashu of the novena that you eat, each mashu is a pachas mikashir. There's an issa to eat pachas mikashir. And every pachas mikashir that you have is like having another issa. So it's exactly the same as having many kazaisim. Just like when you have many kazaisim, you say, oh, well, you're doing many issurim in place of doing just one issa. So likewise, when you have pachas mikashir, well, every pachas mikashir is made up of many little pachas mikashir. I mean, each mashu is big enough to be called a pachas mikashir. So every mashu that you have is another pachas mikashir. That's what the Mogen Avraham says. Along these lines of the Mogen Avraham, we find over here in the Mishnah Berurah as well. When the Mishnah Berurah brings down this halacha, he brings down these three stages, going back to the Gemara that we started with the three stages, he brings down these three stages. He says, you give her first a little bit on the stick, then you give the roast of itself, then you give the meat. So, what exactly is the pshat in giving her a little bit on a stick? Let's go back to that, which I haven't really spoken about yet. What exactly is the kula of giving her a little bit on a stick? What's the difference? So, there are some girsois in the Gemara, our girsois in the Gemara, is that you take the stick and you put it al piha. You put it on her mouth. So you could maybe understand that she's not really eating anything. It's just like wetting her lips. I even saw in a halacha lemaisa say on Hilchos Yom Kippur, it says when you've got a chola on Yom Kippur, somebody's suddenly very faint and they seem like chashash takon, the very first thing you should do is wet their lips. No offense. That's the right thing. Well, that's what he said. Uncle Podim, you could understand that that's chaf in the Gemara. You put it al piyah. But the Rif and the Rosh, their girsa is machnitin letoich piyah. You put it into her mouth. So, another way to understand this Gemara, Rashi in his Pirush on the Gemara says, you give her the stick, and she sucks the stick. Shikol mashmol, so we're talking about a sort of stick which actually absorbs the liquid within it and you suck it out. And some of our Quranim, the Marasham, the Shalomeshiv, they say that's chatting this. It's a sort of achila shaloika darka, it's not regular eating. You're just sucking out a mashke which is already absorbed. That's what it is. That's why it's more kal. That's why you start with that. That's more kal, it's a type of achila shaloika darka. But the Mishnah Berurah did not learn this. Mishnah Berurah says, Ma'achila noisa. Pirush, shetoich ben kitzim beroitov, v'noitz min letoich pia. You put this stick in the roit, you put it into her mouth, and he adds in brackets two words. Roit aloima, eizet tipois. Eizet, roit aloima, eizet tipois. A few drops. So, if the Mishnah Berurah had meant that she sucks it out, etc., like the Marasham, the Shalom Meshiv, he should have said something about that. It doesn't sound like that's the point. Just, the point is it's eizet tipois. Eizet tipois. It sounds like Mishnah Berurah's understanding that the sort of kula, the leniency of this case, why we start with this, because a very tiny amount. But it means it's just a very tiny amount. Al derech, what we mentioned before from the Mogen Avraham, that each mashu is like an issa for itself. So Mela, you start giving the very smallest amount possible, ezeh tipoy. And with that, perhaps you can also understand what the Beit Yosef says on the next day. Beit Yosef says also has something to say on why the roitov is more kal. And it's a little cryptic. We give her the smallest amount possible, the highly roitov, which is roitov. Roitov is the smallest amount possible. It's a little bit cryptic to understand why roitov is the hechrus smaller than the food, but it sounds from the Beit Yosef that perhaps there's no great lumbus here, but it just means something practical. That when you're trying to split something up into smaller particles, it's much easier to do it with liquid than with solid. So Mela, the whole Gemara is simply a progression of smaller, a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger. That's what it really means. You start with Ezer Tipos, that's the very first stage. Then you go on to a little bit bigger, and then you go on to a little bit bigger. Okay, everybody, so we'll stop here. Wish everybody a good Yom Tov. Everybody should be